this proposal. I would rather you, rather than use a stick to try to achieve your ends, to use a carrot. And there's a lot of things you could do to preserve the neighborhood viability. For example, old houses could be subdivided for two dwelling units instead of one, although it's not allowed in some of these zones. So it requires some zone changes to do that. And that would be an incentive, especially if you waive some of the fees to do it. So there's a positive way of getting more affordable housing without affecting the architectural character of the neighborhood. So thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome. Oh, thank you. Mayor, City Council, I'm Randy Sebastian, owner of Renaissance Homes. Thank you for giving everyone the opportunity to speak here today. That previous person who was sitting in this seat that had the artwork showing the home in East Moreland, that I am tearing that house down. I did. That house was on the market for $750,000. It didn't sell. We paid $750,000 for it, so it was on the market, could have been bought by anybody as a house. It had a obsolete floor plan. It smelled horrible. It really wasn't even that habitable. It does have two nice lots, and the photos that were shown of homes to be built are not my homes. I didn't build those homes. I saw them out in the lobby, so I don't know where she got those photos, but they're not homes that I built, so I wanted to clear that up. Senate Bill 100 has brought us here and has done amazing things with the city of Portland and the metro area. This is a byproduct of good planning. It worked. Portland now is an amazingly desirable place to live. Bloomberg reported this summer, Portland is the 13th out of 13 major cities where millennials cannot afford to buy a home. A building permit in the city of Portland in 1984, when I started building in the city of Portland, cost a few thousand dollars. Now a building permit and this SDC costs that go with it in Portland costs in excess of $35,000 per home. How is that affordable? Now we are talking about raising the cost another $25,000. The total upfront government-generated fees for one home now will be over $60,000. Again, how is that affordable? This is a tax that will be passed on to home buyers. The tax will increase home prices, and increased home prices also moves rent up. When home prices raise, again, rent has to rents and affordability drops. What's the goal here? To hoard all the homes and keep making housing unaffordable? Taxing construction does both. My daughter is a teacher at Portland Public Schools. The city schools are getting better. Why? Because families with children moving into the city are now there are family-sized homes for them. A family of five will not move into a 900-foot worn-out home, and they will choose a family-sized home in the burbs, and the burbs will get the state money, and Portland schools will suffer. Has anybody contacted the school district? We also build homes for longtime Portland property owners who want to stay on their property in their neighborhood and have a new home. This ordinance freezes the taxpayer and won't allow them to replace their old home with a new one without paying the tax. The market needs to decide what homes have been neglected and need to be replaced.
This really isn't. Wrap up soon.
Okay, this isn't a government issue. This tax will not discourage builders and new home buyers. It'll drive prices and rents up for everybody.
Mr. Sebastian, thank you. It's a long day, but appreciate you being here. I have just two quick questions.
Yes, sir.
In the homes that, in the context of demolitions that you've been involved with, where you've then rebuilt, what's the median price of the replacement home that you build in Portland right now?
Around $700,000.
And so would we agree that that's not an affordable home by any definition?
It is not.
And if there was an extra $25,000 on that transaction, would you eat it or pass it through to your customer?
It would be passed on.
And again, it's not what we call an affordable home.
No.
So how does this impact the families that that are getting priced out of the market, and how in the demolition context, because I live in Grant Park, for example, and there's on my street a demolition and a rebuild. Someone took a bungalow that had been purchased for $30,000 in the 70s. The woman who owned it sold it for like $390 cash, I think, to a developer. And the house that is now there was sold for $850 on spec. And it's a monster house for the lot.
Okay.
But that's not an affordable home. And what that is effectively doing in the Grant Park area is pricing families out from that neighborhood who might want to send their kids to the school there. So, but what's so if the median price for your home is $700,000, then I think we can agree that the additional $25,000 or whatever figure, if the council so chooses, is not really affecting affordability in terms of your slice of the market.
It's true.
How is it affecting affordability in the area that we all care about, which is affordable to the family that has a cop and a teacher at home?
We also build out our southeast, 60th, 70th, and Morrison, outside of Mount Tabor or around Duke. Those homes are in the 450 range. So, yeah, it will affect those homes, you know.
And finally, sir, we've had some people say that the mayor's proposed approach is too heavy on the stick, and others have said too light on the carrot, and have proposed different approaches. As a developer who is very active in our community, would you rather see a carrot or a stick?
Boy, I really feel like I'm a product of the system. I build within codes, and I do what the law allows.
Not disputing
and
that.
So it's a lot of times it's a big carrot and it's a big stick. So I can't choose. I'll deal with both.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Thank you all.
The last person who signed up is Kathy Austin.
Okay. Come on up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Anyone else that would like to speak, come on up and join Kathy, please. Welcome. You get the last word.
So, hi, my name is Kathy Austin. I live in outer southeast Portland in the Powellhurst-Gilbert neighborhood. I am here for two reasons today. One, because for 18 years, my spouse and I have been discussing building our dream home, and suddenly it sounds like a $25,000 obstacle is being thrown in our way. And also, because I have recently seen another family kicked out of their dream home for the benefit of a developer. Last night, one of our local TV news reports stated that after all of the loopholes have been applied for developers, the proposed $25,000 demolition tax would actually only impact one-for-one replacements, i.e. people like us trying to build an owner-occupied dream home. Assuming a $25,000 demolition fee is enacted, you could reduce the impact to homeowners like us by charging the demolition fee at the time, only at the time when the new construction is sold, something owner-occupiers like us don't intend to do until we're pretty much close to death. Thank you for mentioning this lightning earlier. I didn't realize someone else would come with my idea. Great. Or refunding the demolition fee to owner-occupied rebuilds when those owners move in to their newly built home. Either of those procedures will at least reduce the impact of this proposed tax on private citizens who are just trying to build their dream homes on their own property. We do plan to remove an existing house to build our dream home. We will already be paying higher property taxes once we have built. We should not be additionally subject to a demolition fee. Now, the family kicked out of their dream home lived in a beautiful Craftsman bungalow on Southeast Division Street around Southeast 30th Avenue. I don't know whether an owner who had been renting to them and wished to sell that property kicked them out, or whether a bank did it, but their house was sold to a developer who will now build condos between two other Craftsman homes. That sort of destruction should not be happening. We should be finding ways to help people who love their historic homes stay in them, and finding ways to build truly affordable family housing in appropriate places. I don't think this tax, as proposed, will be effective at achieving any of our real goals.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Okay, anyone else? So I want to propose some issues for further work based on what we've heard in the hearing here. One is the the question that's been raised pretty frequently about whether this should apply only to one-for-one replacements as it's currently drafted, or whether it should apply in other situations. What the dollar amount is, and whether or not it should be graduated, how it could be graduated, what constitutes a derelict house, and then this question of the live-in exemption or the owner-occupied exemption. And from my notes, there's some other issues that are maybe not quite as direct, like the one-wall loophole issue. But I'm not sure if that's directly relevant to this.
Take a look at the owner-occupied exemption/deferral.
Right. So those are some of the issues that I captured. Others that the members of the council want to flag, and we'll figure out a process for doing that work.
Can we, Mayor, given the hour and the day we've had, can we keep the record open for a couple of days?
I'm simply going to continue this ordinance because obviously there's going to be more staff work, and there's a number of community groups that have already indicated that they're going to be coming back with more. We've got this specific proposal from UNR today. Thank you for doing that. It's particularly helpful when somebody shows up with code language, but you're going above and beyond citizen requirements to do that. So thank you very much for doing that. Someone quoted, I think it was Mary Helen quoted Stephen Hawking, that identifying a problem that everybody thinks is interesting is the soul of good management. Mm-hmm. So I'll take that as a compliment. Thank you. My quote on this subject is actually from Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who said, everybody knows the end of this quote, but the beginning of it is, it's common sense to take a method and try it. If it fails, admit it frankly and try another. But above all, try something. That's the spirit of what we're attempting here, is that this is, if we do it, an innovation. Yes, a couple of small cities in Illinois have done something like this. But I think some of the testimony that we heard here today really illustrates why this is an idea that I think is worth pursuing. We're going to have to try a lot of things to address the housing crisis that we have in our city, both the affordability crisis, the preservation crisis, and the homelessness crisis. And some of those things will be things that other cities have tried, and we can borrow good ideas from them, and I'm looking forward to the discussion of housing and homelessness with my colleagues, the large city West Coast mayors, when they meet here in 3 weeks, and that's great. And some of these things are going to be Portland innovations. So I really appreciate the fact that people are coming to the table with ideas. I appreciate the sense of urgency, and that's why the above all try something conclusion to that quote particularly appeals to me. We've seen actually recently in transportation with the Better NATO and the Better Block effort on 3rd that it is actually a good idea to experiment sometimes in public policy. It's a little more perilous to do that on a tax issue, and I understand that. So there is, as always, a need to measure twice and cut once before we adopt something. But I appreciate the opportunity to put this on the table, to have the council hear the issue, get a good discussion started, take further guidance from each of you and from the community as we keep this ordinance in the workshop.
So I just want to give colleagues and all of you who stayed to the patient leg to the bitter end just a concept that I've been trying to work on. I mean, I agree with, I think it was Commissioner Fisher said, that not all demolitions are created equal. And I think that the concern that we've heard from people in the community about demolitions has largely been around somebody knocks down a house that's similar in size to all the other houses in the neighborhood and replaces it with a honking McMansion. I think that having a tax on that incident, to me, would be closer to what I'd really like to see, which is I'd like to see a real estate transfer tax on really expensive houses. So then rich people who are buying up houses here would be contributed to affordable housing. Unfortunately, we can't do that because the voters of the state passed a prohibition on real estate transfer taxes, but that's really what I would like. I mean, what I'm concerned about is, and a couple of speakers raised this, where they're talking about people's nest eggs. I mean, if you've got, I mean, there's two people generally that are part of any transaction that results in a demolition. There's Dastardly Developer and Helen Homeowner. And if Helen Homeowner owns the smallest house within 3 blocks, and she's been piecing together a living through basket weaving and piano instruction for 30 years, and then she wants to retire and spend more time visiting her grandchildren in Iowa and wants to take advantage of the rising home values in her neighborhood by selling her house that might be knocked down and replaced with a house the same size as the others in the neighborhood, I don't know that we want to impose a tax that will have an effect on Helen Homeowner. So what Katie Shriver, my staff, has been talking with BDS and others about over the past couple of days is, could we have something that says that you get a rebate if you build a house that is no more than X percent larger or the same size as other houses in the same neighborhood? BDS has some heartburn about it, the administration of that. So we haven't been able to come up with something that we're sure would practically work. But I'm hoping that we can come up with something that goes in that direction. And also, I think that those are the same sort of issues that the Residential Infill Committee is looking at. So I'd like to see if we can get their input on whether we can have a tax that is more tailored to the situation that I think people are most concerned about.
I want to raise an issue that hasn't yet been put on the table, and that is when the city is buying property, particularly when Environmental Services and Parks partners together to purchase green spaces, which often has a home that on it which is not in good repair, and which, if it's being purchased mostly with ratepayer money, there isn't a ratepayer interest in maintaining that home. That would then be an additional cost either on the rates or on the general fund to the city for doing a public purpose on a property. So that's yet another issue to be concerned about. All of us are very...
Sure. You're referring to the case where we demolished the physical replacement.
Correct.
All right.
So that's the... And that was...
A public purpose where there's a demolition but no intention to replace it would be a clear exemption in my mind.
Well, and that's... So that's, again, I think there's a number of different ways to go about this. Of course, we all want something that's legal and defensible, so I am going to look for a briefing from the city attorney regarding the challenge of any kind of a something. I think that's actually a baseline issue. Why would we put a lot of work into this if we're going to get to the end and say, well, actually, we're not allowed to do it? So appreciate hearing Commissioner Novick. Having heard the testimony today, it's clear that on the higher end housing, adding 25 or even 35 is not going to prevent the demolition. It is, however, going to give $25,000 or $35,000 into the housing investment fund. So to that extent, we may be able to provide some assistance for affordable housing without raising house prices as a whole. If you're putting those 25 or 35 on a home that's 200,000, 300,000, 400,000, then you probably are going to be raising the price of that home. I appreciated the developer who said that they are going to pass on the cost either to the seller or to the buyer. So the Helen homeowner who needs to go to Iowa is going to be losing out by $25,000 or $35,000 potentially, and I think that's not what we're trying to do. There may be a challenge between are we doing it for preservation or are we doing it for a funding stream for the housing investment fund. And I think that there's probably two different approaches depending on whether it's for preservation or for a housing investment fund. I also am very concerned about neighborhoods where it may not reach the status of derelict or dangerous, which is what the current proposal is really talking about, dangerous homes. But it's a piece of junk that is past its prime, and a lot of the time the neighbors would pay to get rid of it even if it wasn't qualifying for city-sponsored demolition. So let's not prevent some improvements in neighborhoods which have long been hoping for improvements, or even on streets that have long been hoping to get rid of the one house that's been sitting empty for 4 or 5 years. And maybe there could be some kind of an exemption for properties that have been vacant for a certain amount of time. I do appreciate the Habitat for Humanity request for an exemption rather than a rebate for things that would qualify for an SDC exemption rather than a rebate.
Good. Thank you.
This has been a good discussion.
There is one voice missing here, and I wonder whether there's been an effort to bring the Planning and Sustainability Commission in, because one way of looking at this in a broader context is through the lens of the comp plan. And since we have had some work sessions about all the people coming here and all the new housing we're going to need, it does seem to me it'd be useful to have the Planning and Sustainability Commission give us a view of our options, again, through the lens of the comp plan and the kinds of planning we're doing for the future.
Good.
Great.
Thank you. Other suggestions? Thank you all. It's been a long day for the council. We appreciate your attention to this, and we're recessed till tomorrow at 3 p.m., not 2, right? 3 p.m. tomorrow. Thank you.
we cancel something at 2?
For some reason, we're starting at 3, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
We're starting at 3 tomorrow, right? Yeah.
Was there something previously that was canceled? Or just,
must have been.
Oh, okay.
Must have been a time certain it got canceled or something. Thank you, Alan.
It's 1 hour anyway.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, we didn't get the next year, so.
No. I know. Sorry.
And like I said,
there's a lot of things going on.